Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and thank you for joining me for the November edition of the Money Mom Show. This month is a continuation of what we talked about last month. We talked about trusting God through unemployment, and I know a lot about the subject as well as my guests from the last show, as well as I have the same guest for the show as well. It is my husband, Devon Gray, and like I said, we've had a lot of experience with unemployment. As I mentioned last month, Devon went through a situation where he was unemployed from October 2009 through July 2010, so it was about 9 months, and it was a very challenging time for us, but at the same time, it was a time where we really grew, and our trust in God grew. And out of that situation, out of that negative situation, came a book that my husband felt like he should write. And as a result of that situation, he felt compelled by God to write the book, As You Trust Him. And I'm so glad to have Devon on with me again this month. And last month I kind of gave a whole bio, and I talked about, you know, his accomplishments that he's had and the things that he's done and all those types of things. But this time around, what I really wanted to talk about is just what he means to me as a person, as a husband, as a father. Devon has done a lot of great things over the course of his life. He's worked at the White House. He's been an officer in the military. He's been in legislative affairs for several years. He's, you know, a great, an awesome speaker. But the one thing that really stands out to me about him and that really impressed me was how he handled being unemployed, how he carried himself during that time. And once he got a job in July 2010 and he was reemployed, a lot of people that we knew didn't even know that he was unemployed because of the way he carried himself and the way we grew together and grew in our trust in God just by our faith, just by our trust in God and our obedience. A lot of people didn't even know. And I honor God for just giving us the spirit, giving us the faith to walk out that thing. And right now I want to just invite Devon, my husband. I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of the person he is and the person he has become. It is only by the grace of God and his obedience to God that he is who he is, and I'm so honored to call him my husband, and I'm honored to call him the father of my children. He is an awesome person, and I'm honored and glad to have him on the show tonight. Hello, Devon.
Hey, thank you so much. That was wow. Wow.
You didn't expect that, right?
No, I did not. That's wow. That is That's a wonderful thing, and you know, it's just a wonderful thing, and I give all glory and honor to God. I can't take credit for anything, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I am, like I said before, I'm so honored that you are my husband, and I just can't say enough about the kind of person, the kind of man you are, because and it's like you said, it's through the grace of God that you are who you are. But I'm proud of you. And I'm honored to be your wife. So,
well, I appreciate it. I really do.
You're blushing now.
Yes, I. Yes, I am.
Okay. But we're here to talk about trusting God through unemployment. Like I said before, we've had some experience with that, and out of your experience and the challenges that we face, birthed this book called As You Trust Him, because I know for you, it's not, our experiences aren't just for us,
right?
And to give our testimony, but our testimony is to help other people, and I think that's what you've done with the book.
Yeah, you know, this is you know, for me, it's been a journey, obviously through the moment of the unemployment, but also, you know, after that was over, there were some, I don't want to say promises I made to God, but there were some things that he kind of revealed to me and that is that this book needs to be given in, gotten into the hands of other people, not so much just to read or buy a book, but to begin to turn ourselves back away from just the syndrome, if you will, or the disease of us, where we're constantly thinking of us, constantly thinking of our situation. God's got the situation. But what he wants to do is he wants to do a work on you through these things. And, you know, with this book, he's given me an opportunity, bringing me out of that particular season within my life to look back and say, okay, that happened. It didn't end us. It didn't destroy us. But now it's time to make something positive out of it. Most of the times we go through stuff and we just sort of say, ooh, glad I got through that. And we may give one or two testimonies and we just move on. But that's not the legacy of the test that you face in life. There should be a legacy for every major test in life that you face. And I want this one to be that it's going to help somebody get to where they need to be when they're going through, so that they can turn back to God and realize that he's the source for all of our situations as far as meeting our needs.
And I think for you, and I don't think I realized it until I think after you were reemployed and you told me later on, but while you were unemployed, you said it was challenging because you were here. You were at home.
Mm-hmm.
I was at work. The kids were at school. And it was very easy to slip into like almost like a depression because with men especially, your identity is so tied to what you do.
Yeah.
Not only who you are, but the job that you do. And so it's like when you're not employed, you lose kind of like some of your identity, and you were saying that it just kind of challenges you as far as it's easy to slip into a type of woe is me kind of mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whenever you're dealing with anything, you know, the first thing you think about is you, mm-hmm. and then you think about the things you're responsible for.
Right.
And for me, you know, it was kind of like, you know, it was like, I can't believe I'm here. I mean, that's not the first time something like this has happened to me. And I was like, wow, here we are yet again. And you started kind of doing a little bit too much self-examination. Like I always tell people, I said, the first person you lead is you. The hardest person you'll ever lead is you. Mm-hmm. And the hardest person sometimes that's when you're leading yourself, if you will, you can be very, very hard on yourself. You can look at yourself and say, wow, this unemployment happened for this reason or that reason. And why is this happening to me? That's usually our first question. And it's one of those things you just have to get. I don't want to say you have to just get through because that sounds very impersonal.
Right.
But what you do have to do is realize that while your employment, as a man at least, your employment is tied to your identity, it is not your identity.
Right.
So a lot of the things we look at is we'll say, like, for instance, if somebody's a bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll say, well, yeah, they're working, but, you know, they could do better. And so we tie their work towards their success.
Right.
When the success is the result of what you do with your work. If you go to work as a janitor, but you make your living honestly, you do what you're supposed to do with your earnings honestly, and you invest in your family, you do things for your family, you come home to your family, that's a successful living.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I looked at, you know, I said, wow, I'm not able to successfully make a living for my family. And that is what kind of tugged at the identity until you begin to realize that even though you do the work, God gives the reward of the work.
Right.
And that's kind of what I started to look at.
And I know the scripture that you, because when you go through challenges, when you go through experiences that are hard,
mm-hmm.
one of the things we should always do is to seek a scripture and to look at a scripture to kind of be our anchor.
Yeah.
And one of the scripture that you based the book on was what? What was that scripture?
It's Romans 15:13, and that scripture says, may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do with the book is I take that one scripture, mm-hmm. and because that was my anchor scripture, I kind of really dug deep. The Bible talks about you hiding the word in your heart. The way you do that is you begin to get the full meaning of it. You don't just read it and then go on to the next verse. There's usually a verse or so that just leaps out to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as though God is saying, this is the one that I want you to use for this season. Now, that's not a permanent thing,
right.
But it's the one for that season, and this was the one. And so throughout the book, I break that down into the different sections of that scripture so that I knew what it meant to me, and I'm praying and hoping that it means the same thing to somebody else that may be in a similar situation, whether it be unemployment or just other tests and challenges that people go through life.
Right. Because it's important to realize that our strength doesn't come from us,
right,
that we have to tap into God's resource, and that's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that whenever we're going through something like unemployment, we have to understand that we're not alone. Even though it feels like a lonely place because a lot of, you know, everybody's going off to work and here you are, you're not working, but we have to understand that God is still in us, God is still with us, and He wants those verses, those Bible verses, not just to be words, but He wants it to give us life and to strengthen us so that we can keep moving forward. Because the worst thing you can do, and I love the last time we talked about trusting, and as trusting God doesn't just mean you don't do anything. You still walk and you still do the things you're supposed to do, even though you trust God. It doesn't mean you're just going to sit and wait for a job to rain out of the sky. You still have to apply for the job. You still have to put your resume out there. But it's knowing that it may not happen tomorrow. You may not get a job tomorrow. And how are you going to keep going? How are you going to keep your strength up? How are you going to keep your, you know, your momentum, your faith up? Mm-hmm. And it's through tapping into the Word of God. It's tapping into scriptures like what you based your book on. It's so important because it reminds us that our source, our strength is not us. It's not the job. It's God. And if we are obedient to Him, if we keep walking, we keep applying for jobs, if we keep doing what He's told us to do, then that job will come. But in the meantime, we have to keep walking out that faith and keep trusting that God has our best interests at heart and He's going to do what's best for us in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the greatest thing, I always liken it to a farmer. I love the way the Bible is constantly talking about agriculture. And one of the things you know about agriculture is you don't plant a seed expecting to reap the harvest tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But in between the point of sowing and then reaping, there is a lot of work that a farmer has to do in between. Obviously, he's thinking about the time of harvest, but between that, he's cultivating that soil. He's making sure that whatever he's planted is growing correctly. And if there's weeds that get around, he's clearing out weeds. So there's a whole process or set of processes and based upon systems that happen in between sowing a seed and reaping. So if you're facing unemployment, if you're dealing right now, consider sending those resumes out as sowing. And the one thing you think about is that you don't just sow one seed expecting to reap this major harvest. You got to sow a lot of seed because some of it's going to die, or some of it's not going to produce properly. Other things are going to happen that may cause other seeds not to be ready. So you're producing a massive amount of seed in the form of resumes, but you know that you're preparing for a harvest. So in between, you're doing the things that are necessary to make sure that what you have planted reaps the kind of harvest that you're looking for. So you're planting a lot, but you're also looking, you're researching, you're looking for the right job that you want to do. You're doing different things in between that can get you from point A to point Z. I don't like to say point B, but point Z, because the Z is where the ending of the whole thing is, and that's kind of where you want to get to.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now, and I'm going to leave you with the sound of Matthew West. This song is called Strong Enough. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and this is a special edition of the Money Mom Show. We're talking about trusting God through unemployment. And I have as my guest my wonderful husband, Divine. He just wrote a new book called As You Trust Him. And it talks about his experience going through unemployment from 2009 to 2010 for 9 months. And what we went through, and the scripture that really supported him through the whole thing and lifted him up, and also he talks, gives different stories about how he felt and what he, how he felt through different stages of his unemployment. And one of the things, you know, we talk about the spiritual, and that's always the basis. God is always the source, always the basis of anything that we do. But there's also a practical aspect of going through unemployment. The one of the things that you go through is you, your income goes down. And, well, let me back up. I want to go back to the beginning, to the day you called me and told me that you were getting laid off. And my reaction was...
Well, you just kind of said, okay, all right. And, you know, let's start thinking about, you know, we kind of transitioned from... very quickly from the shock of, okay, this is not cool,
right,
to, okay, now how do we adjust to this now,
right,
this new normal? What do we need to do?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where we began that conversation.
And the thing I liked about what we did through the whole thing, and, of course, we're not perfect human beings, neither one of us, and we have, you know, our issues, but one of the things I think we just grew as a couple through the whole experience is that I never blamed you. You never blamed me. It was never a blame game. We always supported each other through the whole thing. And at the time you had got, you know, you lost your position. I was also going through a time of transition because my job at that time, it was on shaky ground. I didn't know if I was going to be employed in the next couple of months. So it was, both of us were looking, facing unemployment. And it was a very, very hard time for us. But at the same time, it was hard, but we had each other's backs.
Yeah.
I supported you. You supported me. We never pointed fingers at the other person saying, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? We never did that. And there was a time when earlier in our marriage, we probably would have gone down that road.
Mm-hmm.
But God just really brought us together, and we've grown just over the years as, you know, as a couple. And I think that was a huge part of it because we had each other's backs during that whole time, and we never criticized or, you know, made the other person feel like they were less than.
Yeah. I was telling somebody, I was talking about this as far as what the word test means in life. It's a temporary experience sustaining testimonies.
Right.
And what I basically mean by that is that there's somebody out there that's going through what we went through, and maybe even worse, maybe it's been longer than 9 months. And
mm-hmm.
But what we have to realize is that everything, for better or for worse in some cases, everything is temporary. They're temporary experiences. And we want to, you know, some of those experiences, we really want them to be temporary.
Right.
But, you know, it's the purposes of sustaining your testimony. And the reason your testimony is so important, you think about testimony in court. A testimony is a statement of truth.
Mm, right.
And what a person is needing that has to deal with this, they don't need opinions.
Right.
They really don't need ideas. Mm-hmm. They need truth.
Right.
And that truth is what's supposed to get you through. We say truth will set you free.
Yes.
What that's basically saying is that the truth makes you aware of other things besides the fear that you're fearing
mm-hmm.
or that you're having. And so what that testimony is doing is it's reminding you of things you need to know. So those scriptures become a testimony of God, of who he is, that he does not lie. He's not like a man, and he will see this thing through to completion. Or for our case, that as a couple, our desire is we have to stick together in order to get through what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's a temporary experience, so there's something on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I know during those times, I really didn't even think so much about the circumstance. There were days that were worse than others, and God always, I will tell you this, if you cry out to God and you let him know how you feel, he always sends something to help sustain you through. It's
yeah.
sort of like, you know, when Jesus went through his test, when it was over with,
mm-hmm.
it said angels came to sustain him, to strengthen him.
Yeah.
And I can name a number of different times that while I was dealing with that situation
mm-hmm.
where different things would happen. Maybe I saw something on TV.
Right.
A person would call me out of the blue that I hadn't talked to in months.
Mm-hmm.
Different things like that that would sustain you through the process. And the one thing you can't always change experiences. You're busy doing things like the sowing and the reaping.
Right.
But you can't change the state of things. But what you can do is call for God to strengthen you through those experiences.
And I think for us, too, because we didn't isolate ourselves, we still were active in our church. We have friends. And I think as long as you don't do that, that helps, too, because we strengthen each other as a couple, but we also are friends and people that love us. Were there for us, too, and they really encouraged us. So I think that's an awesome thing, too. You have to be surrounded by people who want the best for you to kind of keep you going, too.
Yeah.
And one of the things we did, too, was we were still obedient. Even though our income went way down as a result of the unemployment, we were still obedient to the tithes, to tithing, to our giving. We did all that through this whole thing because we know the principles of God. The word of God does not change. God will not lie. He's not a man that he should lie. So we knew if we continued to be faithful, God would continue to sustain us through the whole thing because, you know, he is faithful to those who show themselves faithful to him. So we continue to be obedient. And like you said, we're humans. We had days when we were afraid, when the future was unclear. But I always tell people our days of hope always outweighed our days of fear. So we are human beings. We go through those times, but what we did, we didn't quit. We didn't stop moving. We kept moving forward, and I think that was one of the big things. And towards the end, it was an awesome thing because we had gotten to a point where I don't know if we were used to our lower income or what, but again, we readjusted our budget. We did a lot of practical things as well,
mm-hmm.
you know. We didn't make as much, so we couldn't spend as much. So we did the spiritual and the practical. So, but towards the end, you know, we were on vacation in Mississippi, and you got the call during 4th of July vacation that you had gotten, you know, your new position. You were offered your new position, and that was an awesome thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were in the car driving home from New Orleans and got the call.
It was weird because we had almost stopped thinking about it. We almost stopped. At the beginning, you kind of worry and obsess about getting a job. But towards the end, when you actually got the job, we were actually like not even.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, and sometimes you have to be careful of that because it can become a new normal. But
yeah.
I think what the thing is that once you realize that you're being sustained,
right,
that you stop worrying so much about, I need it right now, I need it right now, I need it right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come. I just need to be ready when it comes.
Right.
And your mindset kind of changes. And, you know, God just has different ways of not only, you know, people look and say, well, it was a humbling experience. Yeah, it was a humbling experience. But it's also an opportunity for you to be, you know, I always tell people there's no such thing as another level. Sometimes I get in trouble for saying that. But it's not about a level. It's about awareness.
Right.
And God wants you to be more aware. Think about like Abraham. He was about to sacrifice his son.
Right.
And just before he did, he was told to stop. And he looked over and he saw a ram in the bush.
Right.
You know, there's those rams in the bush, if you will, all around you. And sometimes he was being obedient to God. So because of the obedience, the other things became aware to him that
yeah.
weren't aware at first. And sometimes we get so caught up in doing. You know, I lost the job. I got to immediately get busy doing stuff. There are certain things you have to do.
Right.
But a lot of times, you know, God is giving you that. Best way I can describe it is after you let's say you hurt your knee. You have to have a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you're done with the surgery, you don't just get back up and go right to work. There's a recovery time, and then there's a rehabilitation time.
Right.
And so sometimes when God is doing things, and you know it's God doing these things, you have to have the surgery, then you have to have the recovery time, and then you have to rehabilitate. You got to get yourself back into the to the habit of doing things and doing the right things even. But you're not going to be the same as you were before the surgery. You're different and hopefully better. So.
Now, what I want to do, because we only have a couple minutes left, I want to give out your information. If you want to order the book, As You Trust Him, you can email us at devongray@generationlead.org. That's D-A-V as in Victor, O-N-G-R-A-Y, at G-E-N-E-R-A-T-I-O-N-L-E-A-D.org, devongray@generationlead.org, or you can call us at 703-628-8900. To order this book is hot off the presses. And also, I promised you a keyword that you need to have. If you are listening and the keyword for this show is trust, email the word trust, T-R-U-S-T, to devongray@generationlead.org, and the first two people to do so will win a $25 gift card and a copy of Devon's new book, As You Trust Him. Devon, thank you for joining me again. It flew by as usual, but I just want to say I'm proud of you. I love you, and I know you're going to just do awesome things with this book, and just thank you for being who you are.
Thank you so much, and God be the glory, and glad to be a part.
All right, this is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom. Until I see you next time, God bless. I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Trust in Jesus by Third Day. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you next time.